This is BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Howard. What's the difference between a bad job and a miserable one? Well, there's no better person to ask than Patrick Lencioni. Patrick is founder and president of The Table Group, a specialized management consulting firm focused on organizational health. He is a passionate speaker, trusted consultant, and the author of 8 best-selling books, including The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, Silos, Politics, and Turf Wars, and Death by Meeting. Here, he and I discuss his book, The 3 Signs You Have a Miserable Job, and ways companies can make any job more rewarding and fulfilling. Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
I was reading recently that in the average company, about 25% of the workforce is completely disengaged from their job. Do you think companies are really aware of the financial impact of this lack of job satisfaction?
You know, they're probably not completely aware of it, or they probably don't realize the depths of it. But I think most importantly, they just assume it's inevitable and that it's a part of human nature for people not to like their jobs. And when they see companies that actually don't have this problem, that overcome this, they're confused by it, and oftentimes they resent them. They kind of don't even want to talk about it. Rather than looking at it and saying, what is it that they're doing that maybe we should do, they just are confused and often resent that competitor in the industry. So I think the biggest problem is we do underestimate the impact, but we also just don't think that it's possible to overcome.
You read about companies that block employee access to sites like Facebook or MySpace
right. To
eliminate time wasting in the workplace. Why are businesses so reluctant to address root causes?
You know, I think that when we say businesses are reluctant to, I think what we have to say is it's really senior leaders, senior management that's reluctant to. And I think their reluctance comes from the fact that they realize that they have to look at themselves. I mean, it's just a lot easier to say, we have a problem with employee engagement. The real issue starts at the top of an organization. And the question is, are the senior managers, the leaders of the organization, doing the things for their direct reports and then creating a culture where they demand that others do it for their people that can bring about true employee engagement and satisfaction? And that's a human issue. I mean, nobody likes to think that maybe they're the issue. But the truth is, any company where employees are not satisfied or engaged, ultimately, it goes back to the senior executive team.
Now, you write that a miserable job is not the same as a bad job. How are they different, and what are the 3 signs of a miserable job?
Well, a bad job really depends on who's – it really lies in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, one person's bad job can be another person's dream job. You know, some people think that working in the Forestry Service would be an awful thing. Some people live for that. Another person would think that being a management consultant or doing financial consulting would be miserable. Other people, that's the dream job they've always had. So when we say so-and-so has a bad job, it's almost like that TV show called Dirty Jobs. You know, some of those people don't seem unhappy in their jobs, even though others would say, well, that's a bad job. But they're like, no, I get to be outdoors, or I get to do this, or I like this. So good or bad really depends on the person. Job misery, though, is universal. Because a miserable job runs the gamut. It doesn't matter what you're doing, how much you're getting paid. A miserable job is one where you're experiencing the 3 signs of a miserable job, which are, first of all, where you feel anonymous, where you feel like the person you work for is not interested in you as a person, doesn't know what's going on in your life and in your world, and has no connection to you on an individual basis. No matter what you do for a living, no matter what level you are in a company, how much money you get paid, how sexy your job seems, if you know that the person you're working for is disinterested in you as a person, it's impossible to love your work. The second sign of a miserable job is irrelevance. And that's when you don't see how your job, the work you do, impacts someone, anyone, in any sort of meaningful way in their life. All human beings need to know that the thing I do at work matters to someone and improves their world, whether in a small or a large way. So when a person says, I really don't see how the world would be any different and if anybody would care if I really did this, that's another sign of a miserable job. And that hits people at all different kinds of jobs. Finally, the last sign of a miserable job is what I call immeasurement. And that is when you have no way to measure or gauge for yourself whether or not you're succeeding. but you're dependent on someone to tell you if they're approving of you. All human beings need to know, need to have some way to objectively assess a situation and say, I'm having a good day or a good week or a good month, or I'm doing a good job because I see this evidence of it. If we don't have that, we're completely dependent on other people's opinions. So with anonymity, irrelevance, and immeasurement, no matter what you do, misery follows.
IBM Cognos software helps companies unite data and create meaningful reports, scorecards, analysis, dashboards, and more. So we're big fans of the you can't manage what you can't measure concept. Why is measurability so important?
You know, it's one of those things we've come to accept over the years, and I do believe things don't improve if you don't measure them. But there's a human reason for that as well, and that is that if a human being does not have a way to objectively assess whether or not they're actually accomplishing what they're supposed to be accomplishing, especially as that accomplishment impacts their relevance, then they're left to rely on someone else's subjective opinion about whether they're doing a good job or not. You know, jobs that don't have this problem are salespeople and professional athletes generally, interestingly enough, because they have these built-in measures. A professional athlete, at the end of the day, their team either wins or loses, and then they can look at their statistics and say, how did I do? Did I score enough points? Did I gain enough yards? Did I get enough hits? Whatever it is. A salesperson has this wonderful thing called a quota, and they always know where they stand. And that allows them not to think that someone's going to come along and say, gee, I don't really like the way you're doing this. I don't think you're doing a good job. I think you should feel bad about your performance, because they're going to look and say, listen, it says right here I'm doing a good job or a bad job. So it gives them the power for assessing for themselves. Without that, you feel like you're a slave to your manager's mood, opinion, or their subjective assessment that day.
We find sometimes that employees can be a little nervous about workplace measurement. They fear it will be used as a very big stick. How would you confront the fear of measurability?
We're talking about just objectifying things so that it's less subjective, but allows you to really look at the bigger picture. You see this all the time. Companies have everybody write MBOs at the beginning of the quarter of the year. Well, what happens is people end up managing themselves just toward those MBOs so they can justify their bonus. When in fact, what's better is if there's a way for employees and managers to sit down and regularly talk about what they need to be accomplishing and putting that in just objective enough terms that they can see if they're succeeding, so that it doesn't come down to, are you going to catch me on one technicality? But on the other end, it doesn't come down to, do you like me and do you think that you want to keep me around?
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
For more information on Patrick Lencioni, including details on his new book, The Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family, please visit the Table Group website at www.tablegroup.com.
Feeling the heat? Go from the hot seat to the driver's seat with IBM Cognos 8 V4, the latest release of the IBM Cognos Performance Management Platform. Inform, engage, and align your business users with new dynamic dashboards, dimension management, and many other innovations. Get into the driver's seat today. Visit cognos.com/driver's seat. That's cognos.com/driver's seat.
Interviews, insights, and opinions on performance management. You're listening to BI Radio.